Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, and this week's online video picks are up on our website. Each week we select five web videos and I anchor them on our site. This week's picks include an NYPD training film intended to prevent more black police officers from getting killed by other cops. And we have the video known as Hal Grades Your Bike Locking. See our five weekly video picks at WNYC.org/video. Now, a cluster of toxic sites threatens the health of Staten Island's North Shore neighborhoods. Waste transfer stations, sewage treatment plants, and salvage yards exist alongside residential property. There's even a legacy from the Manhattan Project, a World War II operation that resulted in high levels of uranium contamination as they were developing the nuclear bomb. But is anyone paying attention? With us in the studio are Melissa Checker, assistant professor at the Department of Urban Studies at Queens College, and Miranda Massey, senior staff attorney in the environmental justice section at New York Lawyers for the Public Interest, a nonprofit civil rights law firm. Welcome both of you to the show. Thanks very much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
And Melissa, describe the scene for us on the North Shore. How unique is this toxic stew and how dangerous is it?
Well, it's kind of like an industrial free-for-all out there, and it's pretty surprising. I've been studying environmental justice for over a decade, and I haven't seen anything quite like this. And part of what's so striking about it is there are so many sites. There are approximately 21 polluting sites, and they're all within about 70 feet of residential property. So it's the juxtaposition of the homes and the industrial sites that is really shocking out there.
Miranda, do you want to add to that?
I would just say that it reflects a general problem that we often see in low and moderate income communities and in communities of color, where you have an accumulation of health risks brought about by clustering of underregulated and sometimes even completely unregulated industrial uses.
Now, you say communities of color. Probably most people elsewhere in New York City think they're talking about Staten Island. That's not a community of color.
Port Richmond, Staten Island is a largely Latino and black, moderate and low-income community with a robust immigrant contingent that's also largely Latino and black.
And that's where most of this pollution that you described is concentrated?
Yes. I think most people also, when you think of pollution on Staten Island, you think of Fresh Kills, which is in the middle of the island. But this is all along the shore in the area with the lowest incomes on the borough.
And Melissa, isn't the North Shore historically kind of an industrial zone? How did residents wind up there, or who was there first?
Well, it was historically an industrial zone, and residents kind of came along with the industry historically. So it was also the first area of the borough to be densely populated. So they kind of grew up together. And then what's happened is, because a lot of the homes out there are actually historic, the industry has just kind of remained and got grandfathered in when zoning laws finally came into being. So everything is still all there together.
We mentioned the legacy of the Manhattan Project. Tell us why that's an issue. Miranda?
There's a site on the North Shore that was owned for a time by Archer Daniels Midland. And at that site, some high-grade uranium ore was stored in relation to the Manhattan Project in the 1940s. Currently, there's a very high level of radioactive contamination at the site. EPA standards state that 1 in 10,000 risk of cancer is acceptable. And the levels there are such as to make the risk 60 times that, a full 60 times that. The real thing that this site tells us, though, is what can happen when agencies start playing hot potato with a site that's unpleasant and that they don't want to clean up. Because in 1986, the Department of Energy took the position that it didn't have jurisdiction to clean up the site. Our preliminary research suggests that that's absolutely true. EPA, which is the federal Environmental Protection Agency, or the State Department of Environmental Conservation, should have then stepped in. Nobody has yet stepped in. It's in a floodplain. Global warming makes flooding all the more likely, and it presents a risk to human health that's been clearly established. Somebody needs to clean it up, and it just hasn't happened yet.
And that's why you're involved as an environmental lawyer, right?
Correct. We're engaged in a dialogue with the agencies on the North Shore. And I do want to emphasize the Environmental Protection Agency seems to be taking responsible and rational action with respect to some of the sites on the North Shore after too long, but after a fair amount of community agitation, which shows that people really should speak up in these situations, because you can, though it's a long, hard road, get government action in the long run if you make enough noise.
Anyone from the North Shore, anyone from Staten Island want to call in about these polluted areas? This is not something we hear a lot about. Staten Island doesn't often get the coverage it deserves in the first place. And here is something that urban studies professor Melissa Checker says is unlike anything she's ever seen, and she's been studying environmental justice for a decade. So if you didn't think Staten Island could be compared to the South Bronx or East Harlem or take your pick, this should be a revelation to you. Anyway, anyone from Staten Island can call in 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. And Melissa, any more on that Manhattan Project link? Is it radioactive?
Well, it is actually radioactive, and they've found very high levels of uranium and radium there. And part of the story that I think is so striking about this, and which is really emblematic of what's going on the North Shore, is that what happened was in the early 1940s, they were storing the uranium on that site before it got transported to the sites where they were making the atomic bomb, and there was a spill. About 1,200 tons of uranium ore were spilled at the site. And so, but nobody ever really bothered to clean that uranium up.
And why not?
Well, that's what we're not exactly clear on. They were aware of it, and it never really got cleaned up.
And I never knew that this went on here. Nuclear weapons made on Staten Island?
Well, they weren't going to be made on Staten Island. It was just the storage spot. But I also want to emphasize that nobody would have stepped in. I mean, we wouldn't be having the action we're seeing now. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for this sustained community agitation.
Exactly.
And really, one community member in particular, whose name is Beryl Thurman, who is the president of the North Shore Waterfront Conservancy, and mm-hmm. she did all the research and figured out what was going on and published a booklet, and that sort of and has tirelessly contacted federal, state, and local agencies.
Here's Daniel calling in. He used to live on the North Shore of Staten Island. He now lives in New Jersey. But, Daniel, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, thank you. I used to live on Staten Island. I lived on the North Shore on Duncan Street, right opposite the North Shore Water Treatment Plant. And that was before they expanded it. There was a great big huge field there that we used to play baseball, football, things like that. There was also a racetrack back there in Port Richmond. You know, we used to go and watch stock cars go around and around the circle. And I'm just wondering where these areas were and what kind of effect it might have had or it's having on me, because I played there as a kid, you know, rolling in the dirt and such.
Right. So is there anything that an individual who grew up there but doesn't have any health effects related to that they know of should do to get themselves checked out?
At the limit, you might want to get your blood lead levels checked. The problem with assessing how these contaminants affect health is that essentially what you're doing is you're just building up risks in your body. It's like picture a car and you have a bunch of sacks of cement or lead pellets in it. The first sack isn't going to stop the car, but eventually you keep adding them on and you will have a real health impact. So probably the exposure that you got to contaminated soil may have given you some increased risk over your lifetime, but there's not really something that it's easy to say you can do about it now, I regret to say. And that's what we really want to do, is change the way these risks are assessed going forward so that children will be safer and that 40 years from now an adult won't have to make the call you just made.
Daniel, good luck. And it sounds like you're saying the one thing that he can do is get his lead levels checked.
He can.
All right. Daniel, thanks for checking in. Ed on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
I live in the Greenwichville area, which I believe is the same area you're talking about. And I've been on the island for about 16 years now. And I've noticed a lot of old factories that have been shut down for years, and I'm wondering if those conditions do exist in that area too.
Yes, the old factories, I mean, that's sort of part of what's compounding the problems on Staten Island, is that on the North Shore is that we have a lot of active contamination or active sites that are polluting, and they're actually have come in and been built on top of older contaminating sites. So there's historic contamination and present contamination going on. And a lot of those older sites were unregulated because they were there before regulations existed. So,
I see. And I've noticed, like, I think the telephone company had a factory there and several car makers.
Yeah, there have been a lot of auto salvage yards, a lot of boat yards, which can be very polluting. Of course, the water body itself, the Kelvin Coal, is highly polluted.
Uh-huh. But where I'm maybe 20 blocks away from the water's edge, would I have to worry?
Well, I think you should be very careful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't go digging around in any dirt around your house. But, you know, be careful. Be careful about tracking dirt into the house and,
really?
And having it touch. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there, and it's, you know, it rains and the things get mixed around and
oh, you see, my actual development was an old dairy farm, and I was told that the old dairy farm was the dirt and everything was removed and replaced.
Well, that may be so on your particular development, yes.
And thanks a lot for calling in, Maggie on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Maggie.
Wondering, I live on the military base called Fort Wadsworth in Coast Guard housing, and they're like, people are speculating that when it was a military base a couple hundred years ago, that things may have gotten into the ground, and I was wondering if you had any information on that.
Hi, Maggie. This is Miranda. I actually don't, I'm sorry to say.
Okay.
I don't either, but you might contact the North Shore Waterfront Conservancy if it's in that area. They may know some information.
Thank you.
Burl Thurman is really an amazing source of knowledge about all of these sites.
You know, before you go, I'm still thinking about Daniel's call, the guy who grew up on the North Shore, and wondering if he has any health problems that he doesn't really know about as a result of these exposures he would have had as a kid. Have North Shore residents experienced any health problems that have been measured as a direct result of these toxic sites, Maggie?
Or
whoever wants that?
Right now, they're testing lead levels, and the two clinics have initiated programs to do free lead testing for adults and children on the North Shore. So they're kind of trying to collect data on that. Otherwise, people report asthma, and there's nothing kind of really specific that people can point to. But part of the reason for that is because sometimes these things do take a while to show up. Do you want to continue?
Well, just that I would just totally agree. And the only thing I would add to that is that one of the reasons, Brian, why it's hard to get government action on sites like this is that you really have an accumulation of risk, and the entire society has been an largely unregulated toxic stew since World War II, and we need to change the policies.
Why is this coming to the fore now? Miranda.
This is coming to the fore now because the North Shore Waterfront Conservancy and its president, Burl Thurman, and a number of other community-based organizations concerned about environmental justice on the North Shore of Staten Island made a ruckus, and they didn't stop making a ruckus until government officials started paying attention. And really, for me, that's one of the main lessons to be learned from the situation in Staten Island. There are lessons about policy and about the ways in which we need to improve policies managing chemical risks, but it's also a lesson about community activism and making a stand for the health of children in the community.
So last thing, is there anybody who folks listening should get in touch with if they think they may be directly affected, if they're listening on the North Shore of Staten Island right now and didn't know about this yet? Melissa, any contacts here?
Sure, yeah. Again, the North Shore Waterfront Conservancy, and they have a website, NSWC, if you kind of do a Google search on that, you can come up with their website. You can also contact Burl Thurman, and she would be, you know, her contact information would be on the NWSC website. You could also just go to one of these clinics that is offering the free lead testing. I think one is the Port Richmond Clinic.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and we leave it there. Yeah, go ahead.
Just one last thing. The Environmental Protection Agency is going to be having, on an ongoing basis, a series of community meetings They've agreed to address some of the risks that we've been talking about today, and community members should absolutely show up in force at those meetings to demand quick and complete remediation and also to press for remediation of the Archer Daniels Midland site, which is currently indeterminate.
All right. Well, stuff happens on Staten Island, whether the media talks about it or not. I'm glad we talked about this. People don't even realize there was a 300-gallon oil spill near the St. George Ferry Terminal during a ship-to-ship transfer just earlier this spring, or that in April the EPA found lead levels up to 10 times the acceptable rate at the site of a former ice cream factory and Veterans Park, lead and arsenic levels related to all of this. So Melissa Checker, assistant professor at the Department of Urban Studies at Queens College, and Miranda Massey, senior staff attorney in the Environmental Justice Section at New York Lawyers for the Public Interest. Thank you both very much for talking about
it. Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a follow-up Friday segment on something the New York City Transportation Commissioner said on this show yesterday. She's proposing shared lanes for buses and bicycles. Bikers, are you ready for that? We'll get a reaction from the bicycle group Transportation Alternatives and from you.